Welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. I'm Jared Stansberry. Tonight, a very special edition of the CF Podcast, joined by Brent Bloom. It's the NBA Playoff Preview Pod. Bloom, what's up, man?
It's the first ever? Well, the second ever.
Yeah, the first one was a fail.
Some good analysis. Well, good analysis for me, average analysis from Adam Gray. But
that's what you can usually expect from him.
I can't wait. This is, I think, the best playoff of any sport. I think the NCAA tournament is the best sporting event as a whole, but I think the NCAA tournament is an awful way to determine the best team.
Oh yeah, for sure.
The NBA playoffs are the best way to determine the best team of any of the sports, college, pro, whatever, because to beat a team four times, you're the better team, no question about it. And then to just get all the way through. I mean, if you think about hockey, you can ride a hot goalie, pitcher in baseball, similar, and then football, you're playing one game. Now, usually the better team wins in football because of the dominance, but you can kind of luck your way to a win sometimes. And in the NBA playoffs, you cannot luck your way to four wins. You're the better team or you're not. So it's great.
I think the thing about the NHL and the NFL playoffs too is that, especially with the NHL, people a lot of times will say that one's the best playoff, you know. But I just think there's the overtime rules. There's so many games that will go to overtime, but it's fluky when you just have to score one goal to win.
It's entertaining.
Yeah.
I agree. I watch the NHL playoffs, to me, it's like, you know, as dramatic as it gets. But it's just, I don't know, there's eight seeds that win in the NHL.
Yeah.
Like, that have made the finals. There's not an eight seed that will get ever to the NBA playoff finals.
There's only been a couple that have even won their first series.
And they just get bounced the next round like they should. I mean, the Mutombo Nuggets team.
The Warriors
got bounced
with Baron
Davis.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was 06-07. Absolutely. Yep. But then the next series just not competitive. But that's the thing is, you cannot luck your way to that many wins consecutively. Eventually, you will run into a team that is better than you, and you will lose.
All right, so let's jump right into it here with the matchups. We're gonna start in the West. The first one, Golden State and Portland. I think that we both know who's going to win this one. I think anybody that looks at it is probably going to know who's going to win. But I still think that there's some pretty interesting things to analyze when you look at this series, because you look at Portland, and they've got two guards that on any given night can go off for a really big night. They've got a guy like Nurkic who pretty much completely changed their team after he joined them about a week before the trade deadline in February. But obviously we all know what Golden State is. And I think that I still think that they're trying to get Kevin Durant fully back integrated into what they were doing. And that's what makes this series still somewhat intriguing, even though I think pretty much everybody knows who's going to win. Yeah,
Golden State is the biggest overwhelming favorite of any of the series. I mean, their Vegas odds are out of control good. Like, nobody expects Portland to win, yet they still have Damian Lillard, and he has been unbelievable, especially in the last month and a half, that he can carry a team to maybe a win.
Right.
They just don't have – I mean, him and McCollum are good – and I like Nurkic, but there's no way that they can get more than two against Golden State. It's just not going to happen. It will be interesting to see, though, what's the rotation like for Golden State? And, you know, they've kind of experimented here and there with some of their guys, especially on the second unit. What do they look like? Because everyone's expecting them to get to at least the finals, let's be real. So but how do they integrate Durant in that whole thing? How does he play with those guys? Curry was good this year. He wasn't great. So I think they've got some questions. They've won the most games in the NBA, but they haven't been perfect this year. I mean, they've got some question marks, and we'll see what they look like. But Lillard will be fun. I mean, I think he'll score 50 in a game maybe in this series, but there's no way they get more than two.
Well, it's crazy. The thing about Golden State is that right when Kevin Durant got hurt, it seemed like they were finally starting to kind of figure out how to play with him. He gets hurt, and then right at the tail end of when he was hurt, they were finally starting to figure out how to play without him. And then all of a sudden he's back again. So then they've just got to turn right around and figure out how to play with him again. It's just, that's the thing that makes that intriguing with their roster. Like you said, it's how are they going to be able to figure it out with Kevin Durant? And with Portland, I mean, before the trade deadline, I wouldn't have even been shocked if they blew up their nucleus this summer, because those two guards, I mean, neither one can defend anybody.
Right.
It's just too hard for them to be able to play together all the time.
Yeah, their future is interesting. I mean, I'm a big Lillard fan. I like McCollum. But you're right. They're great offensive players. They're not great defensive players. Other than that, I mean, they just don't have a big. I mean, Nurkic is solid. He's going to be pretty good, I think, in a couple years. But Otherwise, you're relying on Al-Farouq Aminu. Like,
yeah,
that's not getting it done.
And Mo Harkless.
Yeah. Did you see that story about Harkless?
Yes.
Talk about cashing a check. Like, there's no way I'm shooting either.
How self-aware do you have to be to, like, know that?
Oh, his agent's telling him.
Oh, yeah,
see,
for
his
sure.
Agent's getting 10% of that. So agent just cashed in $50,000. So if you don't follow along, Harkless got a $500,000 bonus if he shot 35% or better from three this year. He's not a great shooter.
Yeah.
But he was at 35.1 with four games left, and he shut it down. He played for the four games, did not attempt a three. So he's going to buy himself a nice ride, I'm sure, and ride off into the sunset. There's no way I'm shooting either, though. I can't kill the guy.
Yeah, that's – like I said, you just have to be incredibly self-aware to know, like, I cannot shoot a three no matter what right now.
But I do think the Warriors have some questions. I think they are – more talent than last year as a whole, because you add Durant and you're obviously better. But what do they have inside? And I think when they get to the semis and they get to the Western Conference Finals and they have to play some size, they're pretty good, but I don't know. Like, I just don't – I'm not sure if Pachulia
right.
is as good a defender as Bogut was, and then even Maurice Spades gave him a boost for a couple years. So they've got some – they can ride with Durant for sure, but once they get into those physical matchups with, you know, the Spurs, the Clippers, who yeah. else, we'll see how they handle that.
Well, yeah, and that's a good transition into the next series, the 4-5 series there in the West, the Clippers and the Jazz. Both of those teams, I think, have the potential to be able to win a couple games in that series, just because, you look at a team like the Clippers, they still have three guys that are in the top five at their position,
right?
Each one of them. And then you even look at Utah. They've got Gordon Hayward, who has been really, really good this year. They've got Rudy Gobert. George Hill has been really good for them this season. They've got some guys that are capable of making some plays and putting up some points on a good night. And that makes both of those teams a little bit scary, even though they're probably not going to be able to beat Golden State. But that makes that series seem really fun to me.
Yeah, I think if Utah can get one of the first two, I think they win the series.
Yeah.
I like them in this deal. Clippers are good. I mean, Blake Griffin, no one really talks about him anymore. He had a fantastic second half of the mm-hmm. season. I mean, he was as good a big guy as almost anybody. And we know what Paul can do. J.J. Redick has turned himself into a really good two-guard who can play both ways now. They just have zero depth. Against
right.
Jamal Crawford and
– And Mo Spates.
And Mo Spates. And then there it's like – Then it's Austin Rivers. Like, what else?
Paul Pierce.
I mean, it's bad.
The carcass of Paul Pierce.
They just roll him out there, literally. He can't play anymore. It's kind of sad.
Did you see last night they wanted him to go into the game, and everybody in the Staples Center was chanting his name, and he was sitting on the bench, and Doc Rivers is, like, motioning for him to go in the game, and he was sitting there, and he's like,
I got to save energy.
I'm not going in.
I don't
and
blame him.
Finally, they convinced him to go in the game, and he got a standing ovation. But
he's not the answer. They have seven guys. There's no way they can make it through two rounds healthy. I mean, if one guy turns an ankle for them, they're in trouble. They just do not have the depth. And the Jazz are interesting because you're right. They have Hayward, who's not a superstar. Problem is with them, this is probably it. Like, he's got his eyes on playing with Brad Stevens in Boston next year. So
if they can win a series, that people in Utah love him.
No, they do.
He needs.
The Jazz need to win this series because that might keep him.
Yeah.
I think if they get bounced, he goes to Boston, and then they're kind of in shambles. Although I think Rudy Gobert is fantastic. Like, if you don't watch basketball, you don't know this guy, but he's on my all NBA first team. He's been that good this year, and he can completely change the way you play a team inside, because he's the best interior defender in the game. And other than that, though, I like George Hill. Not a whole lot else. I mean,
no.
Joe Ingle. I mean, just
yeah.
What else do they have? Exum's going to be solid. He's not there yet. Rodney Hood's okay. I mean, not a lot of firepower there. If Gordon Hayward's not on, that's a team that I don't know if they have the offense. Although it's amazing for you Iowa State fans. The Jazz's head coach is Quinn Snyder, who got absolutely obliterated twice by Wayne Morgan, just outcoached by Wayne Morgan when he was the head coach at Missouri. And now he's actually a really well thought of NBA head coach and one of the best X's and O's guys in the game. It's amazing how much his path has taken him from Missouri to an afterthought to the D League and now the head coach of a pretty good Jazz team.
Right. And I think the thing about the Jazz, like I said, if they could win this series, you get Gordon Hayward to come back. There's some guys that are going to be in free agency in the next couple of years. Think about a guy like Chris Paul. What if he wanted to go to Utah?
Who, no one wants to go to Utah, though.
But why not? You've got a good young nucleus. Like, you can bring Gordon Hayward back. He's on his last legs.
They need
the Eastern Conference Finals in 2019, the Utah Jazz and the Golden State Warriors.
I like Gobert. They don't. Otherwise, I just think that everyone else is, you know, without
they're
Hayward.
Okay.
They're just okay. They don't have enough there to make this thing a dynasty in Utah. I mean, they could win. I think, like I said, I think if they win a game in L.A., I don't see them losing at home in this series.
No.
Because they're so good in Salt Lake City. But they just – these are two teams I'm just not sure they have enough to win any more than this series. Not a lot of depth there.
Do you think this is the end for the three guys in the nucleus in the Clippers?
I don't know. I mean
– three of them are free agents.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. But they're all three – L.A. guys, too.
Yeah.
So, and they like Doc. Everyone likes playing for Doc. And they're still getting their shots. I don't know. Chris Paul is still very, very good. He's not at the level, MVP level he was 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
But I think his career's on the downside. He's 31 now, 30-31. So I don't see him going anywhere.
Houston and Oklahoma City.
It's the series.
For the MVP.
The best first-round series out there.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Close.
Without a doubt. I mean, it stinks that we're not going to find out who wins the MVP until like June 30th or whatever it is when they have this NBA awards show, because I would love to see the shot of Russell Westbrook getting his MVP award and you got James Harden in the background and he's just like, that should be my award, you know? And then you see him go off for 60 or something on the night that Russ wins his MVP. That would be so much fun, but it's going to be interesting to see how this series goes.
Yeah. And you know, Russ in particular will make it about him.
Right.
Harden doesn't do that as much. His numbers are filthy, though. Like, they're so good, and his efficiency numbers are a lot better than Westbrook. Westbrook's going to be the MVP, in my opinion. I think he should be. But Harden's efficiency numbers are a lot better than Russ's. It's just Russ has been so historic in so many levels. The amazing thing is, though, the Houston Rockets are the new era of basketball.
Yeah.
They are the prime example. Get this. They shot almost 1,200 threes this year, right? By far and away, like, that's so many. And they make 14.5 a game, which is just a blank ton of threes.
Right.
Like, it's amazing. 5 years ago. 5 years, that's not that long ago. The NBA team leader in threes was 770. They've almost doubled that. I mean, they shoot it all the time. I mean, it's strange basketball to watch because it literally is a math equation come to life. They shoot threes and they shoot layups. They have wiped out the mid-range game completely. Like, none of those guys shoot mid-range jumpers. And then Harden goes to the foul line all the freaking time. They're almost tough to watch because they're jacking threes or he's getting fouled.
Yeah.
And it makes for a really –
or throwing lobs to Capella.
Yeah, and then Capella's dunk. But it's just the Rockets games take a while. And they're
right.
A tough watch for me. I like watching Harden to an extent. I like watching Russ better because Russ isn't quite as – it's Harden's credit because he draws fouls all the time. It just slows the game down.
Yeah.
But him, Gordon – Anderson, I mean, they all shoot it. Ariza still shoots it. Those guys shoot so many threes. They're an interesting watch. And credit the staff to get them to play as well as they are. I mean, they were comfortably the three seed, and I think they roll Oklahoma City. I don't even think it – I mean, Russ will lead his team to one or two wins, but unless something crazy happens, I like the additions for OKC and Gibson, and, you know, McDermott hasn't done a whole lot for him.
No.
But – there's just no way they win that series. They get four out of there.
I think a lot of people look at the Rockets and they see Mike D'Antoni as the coach, and they probably think that they're playing the 7 minutes or 7 seconds or less type style, and that's not how it is.
No.
You know, they're willing to run out the shot clock a little bit trying to get their shot, but they just – the Daryl Morey way of playing basketball is completely different than anything we've ever seen.
They shoot so many threes. It's crazy to watch how they are literally this equation come to life. And
right.
It has worked for them. It'll work for a series, though. I don't see it lasting past San Antonio in the semi. But that'll be a fascinating – those games will be in the 110s, 120s. So many points, although the game could take a while.
I think that this next one is the most boring first-round series, personally.
Yeah.
San Antonio and Memphis, they could put every single one of these games on a local affiliate in San Antonio, and I don't think I'd even be that mad about it.
No, and Kawhi's one of those superstars where he's not
– right. Well, that's what
– you have a tough time appreciating him just watching. Like, I know what good defense is. Like, I get it, but it's still hard to
– get hyped up about it.
Yeah. You're not putting a lot of, you know, Twitter videos about Kawhi's defense on there. And they're just solid. I mean, Popovich is unbelievable. He's the best coach in the NBA, and I think Stevens is right behind him. But he is so good, and they're so solid everywhere. They just get it done. Like, it's not fancy. It's not great, mm-hmm. but they're sound everywhere, and Kawhi is the perfect epitome of that entire roster because none of those guys, I mean, Tony Parker and Manu are still kicking it,
right.
but you never hear about them anymore. They just kind of get it done.
And, you know, the thing about Kawhi is everybody talks about him for the MVP. It's like you said, I mean, he's not flashy enough to get the people behind him to win that award.
All
you know?
the nerds are going to vote for him.
Right.
Like, they're super – because his, like, PER numbers are crazy good. His defensive numbers are usually pretty good. Although, I saw this yesterday. Technically, the Spurs are actually better defensively when he's off the floor, which doesn't make any sense, but it goes to show you that numbers don't always tell the whole story. But, no, they're – And then Memphis, I don't know.
I've been excited about their core since like 2011.
Yeah, and Tony Allen's out.
Yeah,
with a calf injury. Zebo will be fun to see Conley and Zebo kick it a little bit, but
Marc Gasol.
This isn't going to be, what was it, 2010, 2011 when they upset San Antonio? That's not
right.
going to happen this year.
No, for sure. Moving over to the Eastern Conference, really the biggest surprise in the East, Boston moving into the number one seed in the last week and a half or so, and they're going to take on Chicago, Fred Hoiberg.
The Hoy Bulls, I think they got a shot. I do.
You think they have a shot to win or no, win one game?
I think they've got a puncher's chance to win the series. I'm not saying they will. I think they get at least two games, though.
Is Dwayne Wade going to play?
I hope not.
They're I hope not, too.
They're better without him. He's going to have to play. But if you think about Boston, I mean, if there's a one seed you want, I don't want any part of LeBron in the playoffs.
No.
In an experienced Cavs team.
I think anybody that's watched the NBA in the last 6 years, no, you don't want anything
just,
to do with LeBron in the playoffs.
He can just figure it out. Like, he can turn it on, and he'll do 45, 12, and 10 and be LeBron and just dominate. But Boston as a one seed, they are very good, clearly. I mean, you win 50, whatever, four games. That means you're a great team. This group hasn't won a playoff series. Like,
no.
they haven't done it. And if you look at Isaiah Thomas, his numbers last year, they beat the crap out of him in that first round series. He wasn't very good. I mean, he shot like 30% from the floor. He's a great player, but when it gets really physical, he's 5'8". Like, you can take him a little bit out of the game, and then do you trust those other dudes to step up? I mean, I don't know. Avery Bradley's a nice piece, and Marcus Smart's solid, and
Jay Crowder,
but
Al Horford.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
It's like they're just guys. There's no dude there, you know.
So
I mean, Horford's a good player, but
yeah, and it's the sum. They are, and they're so well coached that they do everything well defensively. They're really solid. I just think that if Butler can figure it out and be fantastic, and the Bulls get enough. I mean, I like the other Lopez as a defensive presence. He's been okay. And the Bulls, if they can lock in for – just need to win four now.
Yeah.
And in this series, they have split this year. They both eat 1-2 on respective home floors. I think Chicago can win a game or two. I still think Boston is clearly the better team, and they've been way more consistent. And you don't know what the Bulls are going to have, but with the length that Chicago has on the perimeter to guard Thomas, even a guy like Rondo, even though he's ancient now, he could perhaps give Thomas some trouble. And if they hold him – if they can hold him under 30 a game, does the rest of the Boston guys have enough? Because you know Chicago's going to get some points from Butler, and Wade's going to put some shots up. I don't know how good he is. And those young guys for Chicago has actually been playing pretty well. I mean, Portis has been good. Zipser's coming on. Valentine's playing a little bit now. And Jaren Grant's been good. So, I don't know. I think the Bulls do win two games. I think this goes six at least. And if the Bulls, something goes their way, they may be able to pull off a shocker. But I still money is still on Boston for good reason.
Well, and we've seen what the Bulls can do when the lights turn on. However many freaking games they've won in a row on TNT Thursday night or whatever it is, and it's just when the stakes are at their highest, all of a sudden they decide that they want to play. But you go back to the physicality. I think we saw last year with Steph Curry when the playoffs came, and all of a sudden
totally different.
You get hit on screens a little bit more, and guys are grabbing a hold of you a little bit more, and you know, the ante is upped, and it's a completely different game at this point.
I can see Robin Lopez just doing a flagrant foul on Thomas trying to...
In game one.
Yeah, I mean...
Set the tone.
This is the thing about the playoffs. This isn't the regular season. It's completely different.
Right.
Like, this is why it's interesting, because there's drama involved, and these guys, by game three, you start to really...
They don't like each other.
Not, yeah. I mean, no. It's not the good old boys club anymore. I mean, they really get after it, and elbows to get thrown, and we'll see if Boston can handle it. I think that's the biggest question for them. They haven't won it yet. They have not won a series. They're very solid everywhere, and their bench is deep. They got a bunch of guys, but they got to prove it. And I think the Bulls in the playoffs, like a Jimmy Butler, is more proven than anybody on the Celtics.
Definitely. Washington and Atlanta in the 4-5 series
in
the East.
This.
I mean, Washington, I wouldn't even – if Boston won in round one, I would not be surprised to see the Washington Wizards in the Eastern Conference Finals. I wouldn't be.
I wouldn't be surprised by it, but I don't
– I wouldn't pick it, but I wouldn't be surprised by it either.
I don't love them either. I mean, Wall's been fantastic.
Yeah.
And Beal's good. My guy, Marcin Gortat's on the roster.
Otto Porter all of a sudden decided that he wanted to play in a contract year.
In like 3 years since he showed up. Here comes Otto Porter. Can I tell a quick Marcin Gortat story?
Yeah.
For the new Cyclone Fanatic listeners. So, Gortat was a backup center for the Magic when I was working for them. So, we're talking 08 to 2010. And he was an unknown at the time. He was just a backup guy from Poland. Now he's turned himself into a pretty good center,
right?
Relatively. And anytime... So the first practice, I'm there, it's 2008, and the Magic had some veterans that they just signed. They had some rookies, and Gortat brings him over. And he was Anthony Johnson, College of Charleston, AJ, looked like Beetlejuice, and Courtney Lee was a rookie at the time for the Magic. So brings him over, goes, AJ, Courtney, $50,000 I dunk free throw line. And you're thinking, okay, Polish guy. No way. 7-footer. There's no way you're dunking from the free throw line. I dunk from free throw line. Like, he kind of sounds like Drago, too. He backs up. All the media are watching, too. He backs up, takes off about a half a foot from the free throw line, dunks it no problem. No problem at all. And then AJ, he's a veteran. He's a 36, 37 time. Double or nothing, Gortat. Double or nothing. There's no way you can do that again. Next time, jumps a foot from behind the line, dunks it again, no problem. He walks off the floor in his Polish accent saying, I'm going to buy new rims. I'm going to buy new rims. I'm thinking, the hell $100,000 rims are you buying, Gortat? So he made $100,000 just like that.
Wow.
I don't know if he ever got paid, but it's just...
I would like to assume so.
Oh, my gosh. The money those guys would throw around is just stupid stuff like that. It was unbelievable.
Well,
but he's still doing well. Like, he's turned himself into a nice little player after backing up Howard for all those years.
I'm pretty sure he's looked the exact same since 2008.
Would you take him or Howard now? I mean, I guess
we're going to find out in the series, aren't we?
I guess I didn't realize that. So you got D12 on the other side, who's makes me sad. It's like watching Timey Road as much as that guy is. He had 13 and 11 this year, but just felt like he was just a...
Talk about someone that the game just passed them by.
That's sad.
You know? And it's not even really – I mean, it is his fault to an extent. Yeah. But, like, you can't blame him because the game just evolved. And it's like all of a sudden a guy like him is just not – it's not in demand, you know?
And it just goes to show, if you rely on raw athleticism as your sole way of impacting the game,
right,
that eventually goes away. And you have to develop an offensive repertoire. And you never did.
Yeah.
Like, he kind of has a hook shot now.
I was gonna say,
still can't shoot free throws.
At the tail end of his, when he was with the Magic, he kind of got to where he had a little bit of a hook shot game in the middle of the lane, but that's about it.
He never figured it out, and he's still very good. I mean, he's probably still
for what he is,
five,
you know,
center, but he's just, he can't shoot. He doesn't really have a post game, so all he does now is just kind of get a couple follow-ups, and you get 13-11 from him. And
then he just ruins your chemistry.
And he's just not a great teammate. Yeah. I mean, because he thinks he's the same guy. When he was with the Magic, he was the most dominant player in the game. I thought he impacted the game more than LeBron did with the Cavs. I mean, especially defensively, there was no –
that year they went to the finals, he carried
him. Yeah, he did, and he beat LeBron because Howard would literally – on defense especially, he was a one-man wrecking crew because you could not go in there.
Right.
He would stuff everything back at you. And so good on ball screen stuff. He was unbelievable, but you just can't rely on that athleticism, and it's kind of sad to watch, although he's still getting paid for it.
Right. He's been in the league now like 13 years, which is crazy.
Yeah, it is. And now, but I think Washington wins that series, and Atlanta will pout their way through that. Like, Howard and Schroeder pouts all the time. They're not fun to watch.
Of all the series that it's like, which one would be most likely to be a sweep? That one in Indiana-Cleveland would be the two that I would pinpoint as the most likely.
Yeah, Atlanta's going the wrong way.
Yeah.
They've kind of been going the wrong way for 2 months.
Well, I mean, their team's just falling apart. It was not that long ago that they were the one seed in the East, and then all of a sudden, they don't have anybody that gets you excited.
No, I mean, Millsap's been solid like he always is. They just, man, it's a rough group.
Toronto, Milwaukee. This is like, this might be the second most fun series to me.
I agree.
I think that either one of these teams can be really make a run. They can make a run. I mean, they're going to have to play Cleveland. They're not getting by Cleveland, but they might make it fun.
Make it fun.
You know?
Yeah, they will make it fun. Either way. This is the Greek Freak showcase, though.
Oh,
this is when the world.
This is his coming out party.
That's it. He was really good all year. Like, it's not just a hype thing anymore. He was legit impactful. Right. I think he's a second or third NBA team good this year. And
he's still only like 21.
Yeah, I mean, and he does everything. He's still working on his three-point shot.
Yeah.
But when he goes to the rim, I mean, other than LeBron, there's not many better right now. Mm-hmm. Like, he's hard. He's 6'11", 7 foot. And when he gets out on the break, four steps, dunk. I mean, it's fun to watch. And they've got some other pieces that are nice. I think Dellavedova gives them a little bit. And he gives some nasty that I think the Cavs actually miss. And I don't know. I think Toronto's the better team. We'll see how healthy they are. Mm-hmm. You know, Lowry's been iffy.
Yeah.
DeRozan's been very good this year, and some of their bigs have been injured as well. This will be fun to watch, but Milwaukee's inexperienced. I expect the experience of Toronto to carry it, but I think Milwaukee gets two here.
I just really wish that the Bucks still had Jabari.
Yeah, it changes them a little bit.
Yeah, and if he's able to come back and be what he was, I see them being the best team in the East in a couple of years. I mean, that's a roster that I like with a nucleus that's pretty good.
Yeah,
you got Malcolm Brogdon. You got Jabari Parker. You've got Giannis.
They're big.
I see some pluses.
I know. I don't. The Henson and Monroe combo's not doing it for me though.
But Thon Maker. You've got Thon Maker coming up to shoot too.
That's true. They're too much alike. Like they need a. I don't know. They need another shooter for one.
Yeah.
Unless.
But that's why I'm saying they've got some time. As long as they don't screw everything up, which being Milwaukee, it wouldn't surprise me if they did. But
Brogdon is a. Underrated piece, second round guy. He's been really good.
Well, I think a lot of people say it comes down to if you want to give Joel the rookie of the year for playing 50 games.
Otherwise, it's Brogdon.
Or I guess it's got to be Brogdon.
And then Middleton's come back from injury and has done a nice job.
Yeah,
I mean they have
pieces. They have pieces to be okay.
And they have Beasley still around just for the
comedy
effect.
Yeah,
go away, Mike. But yeah, look. I mean, And Antetokounmpo, 23 points, 9 rebounds, 5.5 assists. He leads them in every category.
Unbelievable. He's the first player in NBA history to be in the top 20 in points, blocks, steals, assists, and rebounds.
He is, man. So if you give me one guy that I'm going to turn on to watch, like flip the TV on, he might be number one for me.
If you had to pick one guy.
Other than Embiid.
Than LeBron. Build your franchise around right now, would he be it? Him or Karl-Anthony Towns or Embiid, I guess?
I think those three. Now, if you promise me Embiid's going to be healthy, which you can't, like that's clearly – he is – if I have a draft pick, in there.
Yeah.
He's my number one. He was so good when he was healthy this year.
Definitely.
He could do everything.
Right.
Joel Embiid is fascinating, but he's just never going to be healthy.
Hopefully he can be
He is worth the – but, no, I think – man, Towns is really good though too.
Right.
Giannis is two or three. Porzingis has some potential if he can ever.
I'm scared for Carl. I'm scared for Carl.
Yeah.
I want the Timberwolves to be good so bad, but they can't. It's just I'm worried for him.
His second half.
There are people that thought they were going to win 50 games this year.
Yeah, well they got. I don't know. They need to get rid of Rubio.
Yeah.
He's not doing it. And then Dunn was disappointing this year. He just never figured it out.
The thing about Dunn is that he was so bad, but everybody wants, like, they're like, no, just wait it out, just wait it out. I mean, he's like 25 years old.
Yeah, he's old. Right.
It's like, how long can you wait it out and be like, this is our point guard of the future?
No, I don't know if he's the answer. I mean,
Wiggins and Towns are good guard. Wiggins and Towns are good enough, but they need one more guy.
And then but Wiggins isn't a lead dog either, though.
No,
they
need Karl-Anthony Towns to be the main guy.
Correct.
And then Wiggins is your second guy, but they need a point guard that can be number three.
Yeah.
Watch for Derrick Rose to go to Minnesota.
And they need – I mean, pardon the language, but then you're just kind of a dick on that team, too. You know,
definitely.
Just a boss.
There's
like a
two nice guys.
Yeah, they're no guard. Like,
right.
I think they can make the playoffs
next year.
That's
why I'm saying if they got Derrick Rose, get him back with Tibbs.
No.
Come on, man.
No. Yeah. Nothing. Anything that is not going to be helped by Derrick Rose.
Get him back with his boy Tibbs.
Nope. Not helping. Sorry. I'm anti-Derrick Rose.
All
trying to get my guy Freddie fired.
Last game. or last series here, Cleveland, Indiana. I don't even know. I mean, Paul George could have a big game or two, but like I said, this one might be the most. This one in Washington, I see most likely to be sweeps.
Yeah, not Indiana's.
I don't
lifeless.
Know. I know Paul George is on Indiana and Miles Turner's on Indiana.
He's good.
I mean, I don't know anybody else. It's like, and George Niang.
He doesn't play.
And he won't. I mean, he
won't even be on the roster.
I would say he won't even be on their playoff roster.
No. Man.
Fort Wayne fell out of the D-League playoffs last night.
He got hurt last night, their point guard. So
yeah.
It's just not much there for Indiana. I don't know. I thought they'd be better all year, and they never really were. So that's maybe they can steal one at home, but that's LeBron.
I honestly felt like George was going into a good situation there, but I'm not sure that he did now that it's been a year.
Well, I think he'll get there where he'll be a role player, but he's such so many – disadvantages where he needs the perfect he's such a unique player that it just needs to come together for him that's why he was so good at Iowa State in a way is you ran everything through him. If he's just a backup small forward,
right,
I mean, he's just,
what can he do?
Yeah, what can he do? He's not a great shooter. He didn't shoot it well at all this year.
No.
And he didn't rebound great, not a great defender. So if he's on the floor for 20, the more minutes he's on the floor, the more valuable he is. But his athleticism, it's hard to get him on the floor for that many minutes. So it's kind of a dichotomy of he makes everyone better when he's out there, but he doesn't do one thing so well that you can convince yourself to keep putting him out there. So it's just a tough spot.
If you asked me today who's going to have the better NBA career between him and Abdul Nader, I'd say Nader without a doubt.
Yeah, I think they'll both – next year will be interesting with Abdul because he's not in a great spot either because Boston has so many guys.
Right.
Where do you put him?
Well, he almost needs to be on a worse team.
He does. He needs to be on a Sacramento where he could play Orlando.
If I was him, I'd hope that they'd trade me almost. It seems like he'd be a good trade piece. He's the number two prospect in the D-League right now.
He'll be an interesting summer, what they do with him, because he's locked in under contract with the Celtics, so he can't get out of there on his own. Yeah, but I think George is in a tough spot just based on his – skill level. He'll still get shots, but it's just not way Glenn Robinson played this year, who kind of beat him out.
Yeah.
There's not much to, and he's got George there clearly. I don't know where he's going to go.
I just see him and I look at the numbers, I see what he's done. He looks like the guy that's going to be above average to good D-League player, but he's never going to be good enough to make an impact in the NBA, you know? Eventually, I feel like he's just going to go to Europe and be one of the best players in Europe.
He'll dominate
the
D-League. I think he's good. I mean, he's good to great in the D-League, but he just does. In the NBA, you have to have something you are great at.
Right.
Something, and he just – his greatness is in his –
well, you look at a guy like Boris Diaw. Like, I think that you could almost make a comparison like that, but, I mean, he was such a good passer, and he was played hard, too.
He was 6'9", too.
Yeah.
Like,
so he
had the length.
Yeah.
And George doesn't have the – like D.I., you could stick in the post.
Moves, but he was also a lot taller.
And I love George. Like no one's going to outwork that guy. But at some point, you have to have a redeemable skill at that level.
Right.
Like if he turns himself into a 45% three-point shooter, I think that's his ticket. Like that, he has to knock down the three 40% or above, or else he just doesn't do anything else well enough to keep him getting minutes on the floor. So it'll be a big summer for George.
All right, let's run through these awards really quick. You already said Russell Westbrook's your MVP.
Yep.
So is James Harden number two then?
I think so. And then Kawhi's three. I mean,
you've got LeBron at number four?
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Well, you can give it to LeBron Listen, like LeBron is clearly, give me a player in the playoffs, and I'm picking LeBron. Like I think at some point you have to look at the season as a whole in what you've done. And he had a huge impact, but he didn't have the impact of those three, in my opinion.
That's true. That's fair.
It's like Jordan.
Yeah.
Jordan didn't win it every year. Karl Malone won it a couple
times. I was going to say Karl Malone, but he should not have won one of those years.
No, I know.
That was bad.
Charles Barkley won it a year when Michael should have won
true.
It.
I guess.
And you could give – like LeBron is still the best player in the NBA.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that he's the MVP of this year. And I think – can I go on a little rant here about the MVP?
Yeah,
I think that whole conversation has gotten way too much coverage.
Yeah.
And I think it takes away from the rest of the league. The NBA is so good right now. But because of the Skip Baylesses and the Stephen A. Smiths, we concentrate on these stupid arguments. Like, yeah, it's a fun argument to have the MVP, but those
doesn't
are
matter at the end
three
of the day.
Guys
right.
in a league full of 100 really freaking good guys right now. And I think
right.
we've got so targeted on all of the triple-double watch and all this stuff that you lose track of how many other good things are going on in the NBA, and you're almost short-sighted enough. I know the NBA is a league full of stars, and they have to market it that way. But I think you lose the forest by looking at three trees. Mm-hmm. And the whole Westbrook-Harden debate is fun, but at the end of the day, those guys aren't making –
Yeah,
they're not making the finals. Like, they're
right.
really irrelevant.
Well, I think
come a month from now.
I think with the MVP award, we've just lost sight of what it is.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, it's the player, and there's too many people that try to make it a team award, and that's not
yeah.
what it is.
Yeah.
It's most valuable player, not plural. It's one player. That's why Russ has to win it, because he was the most valuable player to his team in the NBA,
yeah.
and it's annoying when you hear people, well, they didn't win enough games. Well, that doesn't matter. I mean, take him off that team. They're not any good.
That team's no, yeah. They're the Magic.
Right.
Without Russ. But the playoffs are so great because at the end of the day, that doesn't matter. Like, you got to beat a team four times, and it gets heated, it gets nasty. Every single series has some storylines and some drama.
Right.
And like we said, by game three, those guys hate each other. Like, it's not fake. Like, I remember covering the Magic-Celtics series, the year after the Celtics won the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
And Rafer Alston was the Magic point guard. By game three, like, he and Eddie House wanted to fight every possession.
Eddie House.
Like, yeah, it was bad. Like, there's legit disgust
yeah.
for each other, and it gets nasty. Like, it's
that's why it's funny.
It's
though,
a soap opera, but it's good.
That's why it's funny to hear people like LeBron say, "Yeah, we're not rivals with the Warriors. Get out of here, man! They played 14 games against each other in the last 2 years. You know that when it comes,
yeah.
if they're playing each other in the finals again, it's gonna by game 17 between these two teams in the playoffs in the last 3 years, they will be like, I hate
yep,
these guys.
The Draymond stuff's not fake. Like I
right.
guarantee you, if they play again, they're gonna get into it.
Yeah,
like it's the
and it's gonna be so much." So much freaking
oh,
fun,
man.
Dude!
That, and
oh.
That's where we're headed, right?
Yeah, I think
like
it has
no other,
to be. It has
there's
to
no
be.
Other way,
right?
I don't see anybody else.
I feel like it. I'll be.
San Antonio
I'll
be fun.
Disappointed if it doesn't. To be honest,
me too. I think San Antonio can give Golden State some problems.
Yeah,
just with the size and some of what they can do. But at the end of the day, we're looking at Golden State Cleveland round three, and it's going to be. This could be as good as it. I mean, last year was incredible.
Yeah.
But you throw Durant in the mix,
yeah,
and he's still got a salty LeBron who's kind of – he's called out his own team. He's called out his coach. He's really called out everybody. But
he's called out you. He's
yeah,
called
I
out
know.
Me. He's called – yeah, everybody.
But when you get to the finals and the lights come on, there's nobody else I want. I mean, he's
– No.
He's, when he gets locked – what he did with that team 2 years ago to almost win the series is
– Yeah.
Herculean.
All right, really quick. Who's your coach of the year?
Oh, man.
I got
Stevens.
Mike D'Antoni is mine.
Yeah, he's been good too. I won't argue with that. I
yeah.
think Stevens has been incredible.
I
just with that roster.
The thing with D'Antoni is their over under for wins was like 43, and then they were like plus 13 or something like that.
And that is a organization that has figured out what they want to do,
right?
And it works now.
And they're owning it. They just own it.
Yep.
There's a lot of teams that or people that would ridicule them, but they're just like, no, we're gonna do it. We don't care what anybody says.
Can you win an NBA championship with that? Probably not.
No.
Not this year. Now with Clint Capella. As your big man, but you know they shoot enough threes.
Yeah.
That they, man, I don't know. I wouldn't want to play those guys.
Definitely. All right, the rookie of the year. So we kind of preface this. Joel Embiid is gonna be Malcolm Brogdon.
Yeah.
I say you got to give it to Joel, dude.
I do too.
He was too good.
The process.
Man. He was just too good.
And his Twitter is worth at least a vote or two.
Oh yeah, definitely.
No, I think Brogdon, I mean,
I don't think we've had a player that's going to be as fun as he is in quite some time.
If you vote for Brogdon, it's like voting for Coke Zero. Like,
right.
I don't really want this, but it's there and it's in my fridge.
Yeah.
No other
It's
got to
be Joel,
But by and large, the rookie class has been really,
really bad.
Bad.
Yeah.
Really
that, well, bad. That's why a guy that was a rookie, has been a rookie for 3 years, is going to be the rookie
it is,
of the year.
This And then to relate this to Iowa State, you know, you look at like a Monte Morris next year, it's hard to make an impact. Like
right.
there's only 450 guys in the NBA. To make the NBA is
it accomplishment?
Oh my
yeah.
gosh. It is so hard. Because these guys they don't retire very often. And they're so good. Look, there's maybe what, five or six rookies in the first round that made an impact this year? There's just not many that had at
right.
least legit impact. So it's it, I would say I'd also throw in Dario Saric for Philly had a nice year. But
oh yeah, for sure.
I think it's
got to be Embiid.
Give it to the process.
All right, you're all NBA first team.
I think it's pretty easy this year.
Yeah, me too.
The big three: Westbrook, Harden, Kawhi, LeBron, at the forward.
Four. Yeah,
and then Gobert.
Yeah, I would say
give me Gobert, the Stifle Tower.
Definitely. I mean, I don't even know who else would have a
Davis.
For
some
that
people,
last one.
I mean, Davis could be, but they've been so bad. New Orleans.
Yeah. I mean, Davis, I guess, I mean, somebody could make a case for Towns. But
his
team was bad, too.
But they were
really
good. Yep.
And he's young. I don't know if he's earned it yet. But.
And then Isaiah Thomas, I think, should get a little love.
Yeah. He'll be second team.
He should be.
He'll be second team.
As a little guy myself like that, I enjoy watching him play.
Oh, I love Isaiah Thomas like he's my firstborn son.
He's not 5'9". Like, Willis Smith, 5'9".
Right.
He's probably my height. He's a little lefty. Like, there's no way he's putting up 30 points a game, but he does it. He gets a shot blocked occasionally, but it's amazing how he can get around some
of those
bigs.
And then what he does in the fourth quarter. Ugh. I mean, he's as good as anybody in the fourth quarter.
But I think, man, I think they can get beat. I think I'm
– Has it ever been harder to pick 15 guys, though, that it's like, these are our best 15, you know?
There's so many. Like, Greek Freak's the second teamer for sure.
Oh, yeah.
There's just so much depth, so
like
much
you
quality.
Said, I mean, Davis, he's got to fit in there somewhere. I mean, we didn't even say KD. And
Blake Griffin's been
KD,
good.
KD, Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
We didn't
what about
even
those guys?
Them, you
Klay
know?
Thompson's had a great year.
Yeah. See, it's tough.
You might not. So get this. You might not have a Warrior on the first. You probably won't have a Warrior on the first team. And they had the 66 wins this year. That's crazy.
And they had, how many did they have on it last year?
They had two.
Yeah. See, that's crazy.
So,
I mean, if Kevin Durant wouldn't have gotten hurt.
Yeah.
He would have been right in there. He would have had to have been.
What do you think? Cleveland or
I think it's going to be Cleveland, dude.
Do you?
Yeah. I think LeBron's – this is my thing. I think he's got one more in him. I'm not sure if they can do it again after this one. There's got to come a time when he slows down, man. It's got to happen.
He's 30. He's my age, right? He's 32.
Yeah.
He's three months younger than I am, which is kind of funny. If you think about it, if you put us next to each other, but
his accomplishments versus yours.
Well, yeah. Although I've got my hair and he's losing it.
That's
so
true.
Point bloom. No, but they're. I just don't know. I don't like Golden State's bigs, but I don't like Cleveland's bigs very much either. So it's kind of a wash.
Larry Sanders missed the bus. Got waved.
Larry, what are you doing, man? You just got beat up by Eddie Tavares. That's a problem. So I don't know. I think it's a crash course with those two. I do think, as weird as it sounds, in those hostile games, Cleveland's going to miss a guy like Dellavedova.
Who's
going to be like Korver in a big spot? I don't know. Is he have the nasty to do some of the deli stuff? Probably not.
I'd like to see Kyle Korver win the NBA championship, though.
I would too. I love. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
From all accounts, but
he's an Iowa guy.
Is
who's our last Iowa guy national champ or NBA champion? Has there ever been one?
Oh yeah, Bobby Hansen.
Oh okay.
A bunch of the Bulls. Matt Bowler won some with the Rockets. Last one would have been. That's a great question. Collison Heinrich both haven't won one.
No.
That's something I'll have to figure out. But
Harrison Barnes.
Yeah, duh. Everyone on the listening podcast.
They're like, these guys are idiots.
What are you talking about? Yeah, he had a nice year, by the way.
Yeah.
Kind of an irrelevant year, but.
Yeah, Jared Utoff's a Mav now. They're teammates.
Which, okay. The fact that he played a lot in the last five games.
Does not mean anything.
Does not.
No.
Does not mean he made the right move.
Tony Romo was on the Mavs roster at the end of the season.
I'm happy for Jared that he's. Yeah. He'll get a summer tryout with him.
Yeah.
And he may make the team next year. But the whole, like, multi-year contract, which everyone likes to float out. What you don't realize is those multi-year contracts, especially for rooks that are undrafted, are usually guaranteed for a year.
Yeah, and then they can be bought out.
And then
out.
They can be – well, yeah, and then they can buy them out for like $25,000.
Yeah, I was looking at George's contract the other day.
I think
and
he's got guaranteed two.
No, he
is
has
just one?
One guaranteed, and if he gets waived by like July
– then he's out.
Then
so
he's
that
done. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's – I mean, it's unfortunate. But
I'm not sure they'll waive him, though.
It depends how they are active in the draft and everything. But, yeah. No, I think – good for Jared that he's had this impact. But yeah, if it's Cleveland, Golden State again, round three, whew.
It's going to be fun.
Oh, man.
We might need to come back again.
We'll want to revisit.
Yeah, for an NBA Finals.
Yeah, for the 14 other NBA fans in Iowa that are listening to this, thank you. The club is growing.
Yeah, it is. There was a lot of people that favorited my tweet that we were going
to
do this.
We might be up to 17 now. So welcome to the club.
Do you think Adam Gray's going to listen? We got all the way through it, so he can't get he can't say anything like that.
Suck it, Adam.
All right, thanks for listening, everybody. And
except for you, Adam.
Let's enjoy the playoffs.